Our Words for Life talk today is by Reverend Kevin Pedersen of Ormond Anglican Church in the southern suburbs of Melbourne. His talk title is The Spirit of Christ. This is the second of a series of seven talks by Kevin on the Holy Spirit.
This morning's reading is 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 1 to 12. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest of care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Daryl. And how wonderful it is that we have things that even angels long to look into laid open before us this morning. Fabulous. If you've got your Bible there, we're at the beginning of Peter's first letter between Hebrews and Revelation. Not hard to find. There are Bibles in the seats around you. If you want to move and get yourself one of those, that'd be great. We're thinking about experiencing the Holy Spirit, and today in particular, the Spirit of Christ. So let us pray. Our Father, we are so grateful that the inheritance, the heritage prepared for us is kept safe in heaven. We are so grateful that you've given us your Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. We are so grateful that you call us your people and you call us into the new birth. Father, as we consider these privileges and see the purposes of God opened up before our very eyes this morning, might you move us to love and reverence and serve you. For we are your people, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So good. Well, now that we've begun this experience, this journey into an exploration of the Holy Spirit, I hope that you're beginning to notice his work in your life. I hope that you are being stirred and prodded and prompted. I've been praying that you would have a lively experience of the Holy Spirit. So that's where kind of I'm going for you in my prayers. Because once you've encountered him, your faith will never be the same. It's like taking a concept, bringing it into the present, making it a reality. Anyway, that's how I've been praying. So I was delighted when my neighbour, whose job finished on Friday, came up to me. We were both getting out of our cars at the same time and said, with a cheeky wave of the finger, "Kevin, have you been praying?" I told him I'd pray for him. His job was going to finish, and so he came up. "Have you been praying?" He's a man of Jewish heritage. He doesn't, you know, particularly practice his heritage, doesn't practice his faith, but we talk about these things. That's lovely, isn't it? What a lovely thing to have your neighbour ask you, "Have you been praying?" I was delighted this week when my hairdresser called and said, I need to get together, we need to talk. And obviously when you're getting your hair cut, the hairdresser does most of the talking, so it was nice to have, you know, a surprise reprise. He knows I'm a priest. So isn't that lovely that he thought to call because he needed to talk? I was delighted on Friday when a parishioner called me and told me they'd taken me at my word. That hardly ever happens. And I'd encourage people to ask, seek and knock. Do you remember that? It's from Luke chapter 11, ask, seek and knock. And he was in a situation where he needed work, and he's saying, now work is falling from the sky. Right? His words. And he wanted to know how this prayer thing worked, right? He's intrigued, right? How does this stuff work? We had a great conversation. I was delighted to hear this week from a staff member who talked about how much they love the people they minister to, so much that they think of them like family. How's that? A wonderful thing for someone to say. If I'm preaching about the experience of the Holy Spirit this term, it's because I want you to have one. Answered prayer has changed my life. It will change your life too. I want it to transform you. Now, of course, answered prayer involves taking a risk. Okay, you've got to be prepared to look stupid because you're resting on it, you're standing on it, you're declaring it. Well, don't worry, you look pretty stupid anyway, right? I mean, really, how bad could it be? Take the risk. Exercise your faith. Stick your neck out. What have you got to lose? In our passage from 1 Peter this morning, we hear the Holy Spirit described as the Spirit of Christ. Take a look at the series outline we prepared, and you'll see that the Holy Spirit is described in all sorts of other ways as well. And I think these titles are all clues about the way he works in our lives, the way we experience him. If you like, they're all names given to the Holy Spirit because of what he does. So the Spirit of Christ, what could that mean? Well, the Spirit of Christ appears twice in your New Testament, as far as I could find out, one in Romans 8 and one here in 1 Peter chapter 1. In Romans, he is the Spirit who joins us to Christ. That's the way he's described. The Spirit who makes us one with him. What do we say? We are the body of Christ. Okay, so that's the Spirit of Christ that makes us the body of Christ. And of course, if we are one with him through the Spirit, then of course we are one with one another. Let me read that small portion of Romans chapter 8. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body, though dead because of sin, is yet your spirit is made alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. If Christ is in you, you are joined to Christ. You are joined to one another. You are the body of Christ. And we have this a language reinforced in the communion service, which you'll know quite well. This is the covenant in my blood. Right? Drink from this, all of you. We're joined together because we share the one blood. Right? Like in a family, if you're, you know, one of the Pedersons, you might have, you know, your grandfather's ears and your, you know, your mother's chin or something, right? So we recognise a kind of physical resemblance. Well, if we have the same blood spiritually, then we are one body, and we begin to show and share the same kind of characteristics. And that's why Christians can be close to one another in a way that is so unusual from a worldly perspective. Particularly if you're a believer and you come from a family who are not yet believers, there's something about the faith of your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ that is qualitatively different from your experience in your birth family. And so we're joined together because we share the same blood, we have the same characteristics because we are family, and we'll talk about the spiritual gifts another time, these things we share. Romans chapter 8 talks about us being conformed to the image of God's Son, like literally made in the same mould, shaped. This is the work of the Spirit of Christ. He makes us like Jesus. He makes us family. He makes us bond together. That's in Romans. Here in Peter, where he mentions the Spirit of Christ, he picks up the theme of the new birth. If you were here with us last week in the conversation with Nicodemus, that should ring bells for you, right? Here is Peter talking about the new birth again. He says, we are born into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So something about the Spirit of Christ brings us into this new birth, this new experience, this living hope. And so this new birth, of course, leads to new life. There should be no surprise there. That's in verse 4. And into an inheritance, we're told, that can never perish, spoil or fade, which is kept in heaven for you. So it's not just a new life now, it's a forever new life. This new birth brings you into a new relationship. And you know, one day we will leave all this behind. But we will still be family. And we will still be united with him. But of course, we're not there yet. And so Peter encourages us that this power of God is able to shield us. Did you hear his language? He's obviously writing to a church that's under some pretty severe pressure. Now, I don't know if you kind of got the picture of a shield in your mind, but you know, your Roman soldier often had one on his left arm, and perhaps it was a big rectangle, or sometimes they were round. You know, I want you to imagine a shield about the size of the MCG. Right? This is the kind of covering that God has over you. Right? So you are shielded by God's power from that which would threaten or destroy you. Even, Peter says, if for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So it's not, you know, the exclusion of trouble. It doesn't say that. It says it's a protection from God. So you won't be destroyed. You'll be tried and tested, but God is protecting you. So you need to bear those two things in mind. And whereas in Romans 8, the Spirit of Christ is joining us to him, making us like him, here in 1 Peter, the Spirit of Christ is working through our circumstances, working through our experiences, to reveal Christ to us. So it's like the Spirit of Christ is pointing to Christ in 1 Peter. Now, on Tuesday morning, I was stomping up the beach against the wind, praying about all of this, thinking, how do I explain this to them, right? And I was interrupted by a squawk. And I know I'm head down, you know, stomping up the sand, right, praying. And about where that light bar is, there was a seagull. Now I'm chomping away on an apple. That was a young seagull, and I think he'd decided he wanted some. Right? And he'd obviously been there for some time. It was so windy he didn't have to flap. He just was hanging there. And I was taking too long. I was saying, when can I have some apple? Right? And it gave me a fright, actually. And it was a bit menacing because he just didn't move. He was hanging there. I wondered what he was going to do. He was shadowing me and I didn't know it was there, right? I had no idea till it squawked. Concerning this salvation, the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Here's the picture. The writers of the Old Testament, the prophets, are seeking intently to understand the Messiah. The timing of the Messiah, the circumstances of his coming. To predict, to prophesy, to encourage, to build up the people of God, because they were doing it tough. And there's the Holy Spirit hovering over their shoulder, pointing, right? Pointing out, there he is, there he is. And so when you read your Old Testament, and it's so often quoted in the New because it shadows so well the person of Christ and his circumstances. And the message Peter is giving us is that the Holy Spirit is speaking through those Old Testament writers. So who writes your Old Testament? Right? The Holy Spirit does. You go back to Hebrews, and a couple of times just in the second chapter, when the Old Testament is quoted, the writer to the Hebrews says, so as the Holy Spirit says, right? And then goes on to quote the Old Testament. Right? Here is the Spirit of Christ pointing to Christ in 1 Peter 1. Now we have the same sort of experience on the road to Emmaus. If you go into the parents' room afterwards and look at that beautiful stained glass window, there's Jesus breaking bread with the disciples in that story. He's revealed in the breaking of the bread. Remember them walking up the road together, and they don't even know who Jesus is, and they're talking about what's happened in Jerusalem, and he's talking to them about the Christ, and they say, didn't our hearts burn within us? Right? Here's Jesus explaining Jesus to the disciples on the way to a road to Emmaus. Well, here is the Spirit of Christ explaining Christ to the prophets as they write your Old Testament. And of course, it doesn't stop there, because Peter goes on to refer to the New Testament. It was revealed to them, those prophets, that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. So here's the Spirit of Christ at work again, not in the Old Testament prophets this time, but in the writers of the New Testament. There was no New Testament when this letter was written. This is it. They're writing it. Or the Spirit is writing it. The Spirit of Christ is pointing to Christ. And so if the, you know, hovering seagull Holy Spirit thing, right, is able to do that for them, guess what? He's able to do it for us. So I don't know if you particularly want a squawking seagull on your right shoulder, but that's the picture. Pointing, look out, rah, right? Look there. And we find that he has given us new birth into a living hope. The Spirit of Christ pointing out Christ to the Old Testament prophets, pointing out Christ to the gospel writers, and pointing out Christ to us, who have been given new birth into a living hope. In our gospel community this week, someone described the Holy Spirit as the verb of God. The verb of God. When God is doing anything, there's the Holy Spirit. Oh, I quite like that. I reckon that's pretty cool. And you remember the two words that you find in the scriptures for the Spirit, Ruah and Pneuma, right? Old and New Testament words. Well, what do they mean? Wind? What's the second one? Breath and Spirit, right? Wind, breath, spirit. That's what they mean. Wind, breath, spirit. Each word at its heart is the experience of a mysterious, invisible, awesome power, the mighty force of the wind, the vitality of the breath of life, and the otherworldly power that transforms men and women into the likeness of Jesus. The Spirit of Christ. Do you know him? Do you know him? Or have you just heard about him? That's the challenge. That's the invitation. That's the opportunity. Imagine the squawking seagull pointing out Christ. Christ pointing out Christ. It's not just for then. It's for now. And whether you need guidance or encouragement or healing or help or wholeness or forgiveness or stick your neck out. How else will you know he's there? For you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. It gets better. Come back next week. Words for